The book of Mark, the first gospel account to be written, is a fast-moving series of stories about who Jesus is and what that information compels us to do. And the gospel does not contain a lot of the details that are fleshed out and given other perspectives in the three other accounts. Mark opens with the declaration that what follows, that includes fear, confusion, persecution, suffering, and death, somehow is the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel writer responds to the question of the ancient people about what kind of God they have. It is a God who walks with people through the troubles of life, overcomes evil, and promises that a day will come when suffering will end and God's enemies will be defeated. In the meantime, believers are to share the good news with the whole creation. The Gospel of Mark has an urgent feel to it. And by the time we arrive to chapter 6, our lectionary reading for today, a lot has happened. Parables, healings, many healings, which must have made this a very short book for Thomas Jefferson, who created his own Bible by cutting out the miracles. Probably about a page and a half were left for that, but I digress. These days, we still tend to cut out parts of the Bible that do not align with our own worldview. Jesus preaches the good news about God. He has run-ins with religious people. He feeds a lot of folk, and yes, a lot of healings. He is rejected in his hometown. By this time, the disciples have been sent out two by two with authority over unclean spirits, shaking off the dust of their feet at any place they were not welcome, and then disaster and heartbreak, the beheading of John the Baptist. A lot is going on, and the disciples return to Jesus ready to share what evangelistic life was like out there on the road, bringing good news to a hostile and broken world. They must have been tired. Jesus was. So he invites him to a deserted lakeside spot, and here is where the preacher gets all excited because it looks like we have an opportunity to talk today about slowing down and embracing a time of Sabbath. Not so fast. Now that would be a good sermon, perhaps a timely one. But the writer of Mark ruins it for everyone with no rest for the weary. Jesus and the disciples' retreat is thwarted by the needs of the people. They head off in a boat, and the crowd is already hot on their heels and meets them at the place that they are going. Now, many of them must have heard that even simply to touch his clothing was to experience healing. So for the disciples, it must have been like going on vacation, forgetting to turn off your cell phone, having it blow up with urgent requests that have to be answered just right now. And that's the Gospel of Mark. Everything is in a rush. And where do we find ourselves in this story? Have you ever had so much coming and going that you had no leisure to eat? As the scripture says, has the family meal become a rare occasion because everyone has so much to do and will just grab something on the run? And life moves quickly in our times, often because we have so many demands, work, church, family obligations, schools, emergencies. You know, the apostles were busy because they had Jesus with them and everyone wanted to go where he was. Now, they did not have wants as much as they had needs, and their needs led them to him. They, and we too, have more needs than we even know about. Now, it started with them for the need for food, perhaps, or with the stories that they heard about people being miraculously healed, yet this coincided with them coming in touch with the kingdom of God. A contrast to the world where might meant right, where Roman leaders demanded loyalty as if they were gods, and Herod bound and imprisoned people and put them to death. They were like sheep without a shepherd, So Jesus taught them many things. And his leadership model, if you will, is a devastating critique to the shepherds of the past who followed their own desires. In the words of the prophet Ezekiel, thus says the Lord God, "Ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You've not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled them." And so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they scattered. They became food for all the wild animals. Now, how could it be possible that such a troubling, difficult world could be overcome? And the answer is called the kingdom of God. Yet these days, to make sure that people understand how different it is from earthly kingdoms, we sometimes say the peaceable realm or the kingdom of God, which emphasizes that relationship with God and one another are at its center. The ultimate model of this relationship is the Holy Trinity, living in loving community with one another. Embodying the radical message that Jesus was Lord, not Caesar, wherever the good shepherd traveled, the sick were laid in the marketplace, the center of the economy, illustrating the economy of God, in which the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And this was a rebuke of the worldly ideas of power and authority. Now, this passage is placed between two stories of feeding the multitudes. And Jesus responds to the needs of the people with compassion and with teaching, and they are interwoven. If we only present the teachings of Jesus without love and compassion, we've not provided the fullness of the good news. On the flip side, if we only provide for physical needs without any hint of why we feel obligated to do so, then we're simply the good deeds club. There are a lot of organizations that do good deeds, which is fine. But where can people find something that feeds both the body and the spirit in this fast-paced world? People are still rushing about. They're searching for something to fill the void in their lives, hungry for the good news. Whether they know it or not, they're searching urgently for Jesus. Not the one that we often create in our own image, but the Jesus of the Bible and the churches that point to him. And Jesus embodied that undeniable characteristic of those who live as God's people, something else a lot of us say we do not see a lot of much these days, and that is compassion. He had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And those teachings flowed down through history from the apostles to the church to the present age as we are given power by the Holy Spirit to this very day to share the good news both in word and in deed. Now, the word compassion in the Greek New Testament is related to the gut. It's something that grabs you deep inside. In Latin, it is literally with passion. It is not pity, a sorrowful feeling about someone else's plight. Compassion compels action to meet the needs of someone else, just as love is not simply a warm, fuzzy feeling. It too is an action word, meaning that we respond to the needs of others ahead of ourselves. When Jesus spoke of loving God and one another, the text indicates an equivalency and an interrelatedness. To love God is to love people, and to love people is to love God. My Uncle Lacey had a fishing car and fishing clothes. Both had to be kept out in the garage so as not to trouble anyone else. Dirty, rumpled coveralls, a disreputable straw hat with a hole in it, a broken down old car that only he could ride in because it smelled to the heavens of stink bait. And so one Saturday afternoon, as he was prone to do, he took the old car down to the river, cast out his line, tried to catch some catfish. What a sight he was, near the train tracks, where travelers would hop off and search for their next meal. As Asa waited patiently for a bite, he spotted a woman coming down the embankment, and she was moving toward him, and she was holding a plate. And that plate contained fried chicken. And she came down to the river, and she handed it to him, and she left. And he said, "Thanks." And he must have wondered about it, but he didn't say anything else. Didn't know what it was all about. He just enjoyed the food. Well, the next morning, he ran into the woman at church. And in that instance, he recognized her as someone he knew, and she recognized him as someone she knew, dressed a lot differently on a Sunday morning. And so much laughter ensued, and Asa always loved to tell the story of the woman from church who misidentified her friend as someone desperately in need and delivered him a plate of chicken on a Saturday afternoon by the river. And as I have thought about this again more recently, I've considered that perhaps this was not a case of misidentity or any kind of random mistake. Both were fed by this experience. My uncle and the woman who delivers food to hungry people, no questions asked. Church people need as much compassion as anyone else. And we all need rest. Everyone requires Sabbath, even amid life's urgency and in the urgent work of the church. The good news is today Jesus has prepared a meal for us. For everyone who longs for something more than the rush of daily life. He sets the table. He is the one who feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. He is our comfort and our peace. People are still looking to find the places where Jesus is, where church is more than an institution or a good deeds club, a place where his love and compassion are embodied by the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Our own needs and dealing with the needs of others can seem overwhelming at times. We'll have to find places to rest from time to time where people do not follow us and meet us when we arrive on the other side. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus often could find a place where he would go and pray alone. Yet the resurrected Lord no longer needs rest. He's freed from human limitation and constraint, having conquered death itself. And he is with us now, in all times and in all places, reminding us that when everything seems too much, the ultimate responsibility for the flock is his alone. For the sheep are no longer without a shepherd, and he is teaching us many things. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that in the fullness of time you sent your Son to heal the world. Help us to keep our eyes on him for our own healing and to share the good news about you in both our words and our actions, not neglecting one for the other. And at the same time, help us to put our trust in you. To remember that you did not call us to be the Savior of the world because we already have one. His grace is sufficient for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.